This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
You may have thought that God only cared about your afterlife. That when you received Christ, that took care of you going to heaven. You got a ticket to go to heaven when you die. But I'm announcing to you today the good news that Jesus came to heal everything in your life that is broken and to restore to you everything that the enemy has taken. I'm going to attempt to teach you right out of this book, Beauty for Ashes, that I wrote 19 years ago, but thankfully the Word of God never, ever, ever gets old. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 61, the first three verses. These scriptures were so helpful to me in the early days of my healing journey with God. And I think it's good to let you know right up front that it is a journey. It is a process. But you know, if you have a real serious disease, you don't just go to the doctor once and walk out and everything's over. Many times there's treatment and medicine you have to take and follow-up visits you have to do. And so we have to understand that it takes us a long time to get into the messes that we're in, and we can't get bent out of shape if God hasn't fixed us up in 2 or 3 weeks. We need to at least give God the same amount of time we gave the devil. Who can say amen to that? So, these are such powerful scriptures. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is Isaiah prophesying about Christ. Because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted. A brokenhearted person is someone who's been hurt really bad, and they're hurting inside. They need emotional healing. They have a wounded heart, or I like to say sometimes they're broken in personality. The way that they should be functioning, especially in relationships, has been damaged. And God wants to heal that area of your life. That may be brand new news to many of you. You may have thought that God only cared about your afterlife. That when you receive Christ, that took care of you going to heaven. You got a ticket to go to heaven when you die. But I'm announcing to you today the good news that Jesus came to heal everything in your life that is broken and to restore to you everything that the enemy has taken. God is a God of restoration. He came to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison and of the eyes to those who are bound. Now, as I said on Thursday night, Jesus has already opened prison doors. We don't have to stay in the prisons of our past, the prisons of bad habits or addictions or any other kind of prison, the prison of worry or the prison of anxiety, the prison of depression. The prison doors has been opened. Jesus has already paid for our deliverance, but he also says, and to open the eyes of those who are bound. So I think at least part of that is my job as a teacher to teach you the truth of God's word, which is the only thing that's really going to override the deception that we live in. Do you know that there are people sitting right in here today, and although you love God with your whole heart, you still believe lies? I do. Yeah, for example, I spent years, even as a church member, born again. I was saved, but I believed that because I had been sexually abused by my father that I would always have to have kind of a second-rate inferior life. It wasn't even a real aggressive belief. It was just something that I had accepted when I was little. And it just was in me that my life would always just not be what it could have been had I not been abused. It was a little bit like the whole thing when Lazarus died. And Mary said, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you would have been here, why weren't you here, Jesus, if this just wouldn't have happened? And he said, your brother will rise again. And she said, well, yes, I know that he'll rise again. You know, after in the afterlife, he said no. He would raise him to life. And the story is very interesting because when he approached the tomb and he said, roll away the stone, they said, oh, no, I mean, he's been dead 3 days. He stinks. So maybe some of you think, well, you know, maybe if God could have caught my problem right away, but man, I've had this issue now for 30 years. I mean, this thing stinks. I mean, this is not, I just don't have a dead mess. I've got a really dead mess in my life. Or maybe you even think, I'm too old to start this, or, you know, whatever. And Jesus said, roll away the stone, and then he shouted for Lazarus to come out. And I think there's a great shout going out from the Spirit of God today, saying to all of you that have been bound, come out! Take off those grave clothes and begin to live the life that God really wants you to live. Now, I'm all for miracles, but I want to tell you something. I urge you not to just sit back passively waiting for some miracle to come your way. I urge you and encourage you to be aggressive in faith, praying for God to heal you, asking God to show you if there's any action that he wants you to take that's going to start unraveling this mess in your life. He may lead you to certain resources or to books. When I was walking my healing out, there were many books that really, really, really helped me. There were timely things that the Holy Spirit led me to in my life. Verse 2, Jesus came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor, the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. To comfort all who mourn. To grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty instead of ashes. Thus the title for this book and teaching that I have done for many years, because he has given me beauty for ashes. However, one of the things that I've shared this weekend is that you cannot keep the ashes and expect to get the beauty. So I'm in the process of trying to teach people to let go of the bitterness, the resentment, the self-pity, the chip on your shoulder, the bad attitude. Can I just say a quick word about attitude? I am telling you, your attitude belongs to you. That is one thing that you have that nobody can take away from you. And if you do not let them, nobody can alter it. And if you choose to have a good attitude, a thankful attitude, a happy attitude, no matter what your past has been like and no matter what's going on right now, you will end up with a blessed, blessed life. Please listen today. If you're in this room, if you're watching by TV, please stop feeling sorry for yourself. Self-pity is idolatry. It's turning in on ourselves and pitying ourselves when we should be having compassion flowing out from us and true godly pity that goes and tries to help somebody else that's in worse trouble than we are. And I might add that our healing comes as we begin to sow into other people's lives trying to help them. No matter how bad you're hurting today, there is somebody that's hurting worse than you are somewhere. Let me say again, please don't be bitter because your life has not turned out the way that you thought it should. Don't look around you at all the people that you think have got it better than you. First of all, you don't really know what all's going on in their life behind closed doors. And even if God has chosen to bless them in a special way right now, God's word teaches us that we are to rejoice with other people's joy and to sorrow with their sorrow. Matter of fact, my husband is not inclined to giving too many prophecies, but I remember one time when I was preaching, he came up and said, I've got a word from God I want to share. I was preaching about jealousy and you know, being happy for other people instead of being jealous. And he said that God put in his heart that as long as people are jealous of what other people have, it hinders them and blocks them from ever receiving the thing that God wants them to have. If you were abused, you can't resent people that weren't. If your parents didn't really know how to love you, you can't resent people who grew up in great circumstances. You know, my administrative assistant, Penny, who's Mike's wife, who's been up here helping me, she grew up in a great home. Like, you know, just like this Disneyland thing. I mean, they went on vacations and they went to Disneyland and all these different things. And you know what? I didn't have any of that. I never got to go to a basketball game at school. I never went to a baseball game. I was never allowed to go to a sporting event. I was not allowed to have friends. Having a guy friend was totally out of the question because my dad was ragingly jealous of me in some weird way, and I couldn't bring a girlfriend home because then he might get after them in the same way he was after me. So I didn't have that kind of existence. Now, there would have been a time in my life where I would have maybe looked at somebody like that and thought, well, yeah, it must be nice for you. I guess I'd be happy too if I grew up like that. And all it really was an excuse. I was the way I was because of what had happened to me, but I was using it as an excuse to stay that way. And I expected everybody to make up to me for what my father had done to me. You have to stop trying to collect from people that don't owe you. Amen? Please stop trying to collect from people that don't owe you. Well, somebody needs to make it up to me. Well, and there is a somebody that will. And in Isaiah 61, verse 7, it says, instead of your former's shame, you shall have a twofold recompense. That word recompense is similar to the word workman's compensation. And basically what God has told me, you go out there, you be confident, you give it your best. Don't you be afraid, and if you get hurt while you're working for me, I'll pay you back. I'll pay you back. I've got Holy Ghost workman's compensation. Amen? And you can have that same thing. When I stopped trying to collect from everybody else and I asked God to give me double for my former trouble and to recompense me, and to be my vindicator, oh my gosh, so many wonderful, amazing things have happened in my life. And they didn't all happen overnight. One woman shouted out last night, and it was perfect timing, it was good. She said, how long does it take? You know what? Part of that really is up to us. How many times do you go around the mountain before you finally get what God's trying to tell you? Some people are willing to get it right away. How long does it take to forgive those who have hurt you? How long will it take to stop feeling sorry for yourself? How long will it take to get over being negative? Yes, God does have a timing, and it does take time, but part of it is up to us. How much are you willing to study the Word? How much time a day are you willing to spend with God? Yeah, well, we'll just leave that alone and go on. He gives us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that God might be glorified. Finishing up Isaiah 61, 7, instead of your former shame, you'll have a twofold recompense. Instead of dishonor and reproach, your people shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, not when they die and go to heaven, while they're still alive on earth and in this land, they shall possess double what they forfeited, and everlasting joy shall be theirs. Can somebody say, oh my, I want to get in on that. Well, I hope you enjoyed the teaching about emotional healing. And now, just to kind of make the point a little bit stronger, I have a special guest today, Pastor Rick Renner, who's a very good friend of ours, and we've partnered together for many years in the former Soviet Union. He pastors a church in Moscow called the Good News Church, and he's the director of our Russian office. And he has had some emotional issues and has received some emotional healing in the last few years, and he wanted to come and tell you about it because he knows it's going to help you. Well, Pastor Rick, tell us just real briefly about your experience, and then let's talk about the best way to be healed.
Well, I just went through a period where I had worked so hard that I just depleted myself. I mean, that's the best way I know how to explain it. And when I came to the end of myself, I really didn't know what to do.
So how did that affect you emotionally?
Joyce, it's like I flatlined. I had no joy. I had no no ups, no downs.
Well, now, you said you also were depressed a lot.
And very depressed, but the depression really followed.
Yeah.
After I called the men that really I answered to for my ministry, they came to Moscow, and they sat down with me. Imagine the love of those men.
You probably got depressed when you realized what a real mess you were in.
Oh, and when they said, you know, basically we want you to stay at your house for the next 6 months. Well, you know, Joyce, our house is beautiful. But it was like sitting in a prison. It's like, how many times can I look at that beautiful light fixture and enjoy it? I'd get up, walk from one room.
It was like being in the intensive care unit.
And God confronting me.
I think one of the things that's important for our viewers to realize is that just overwork can cause you to have emotional issues. You can just feel like you're absolutely losing it because you don't get enough sleep, you don't get enough rest, you're just running from thing to thing to thing. You have so many things going on in your life that you can't focus on anything anymore. Mm-hmm. And you know, our whole society today drives us to multitask.
It does.
And, you know, I don't have a problem with doing, you know, a couple things, you know, at once. Some people are better at it than others, but we do really have to be careful that we're not just trying to see how much we can do in life. I was thinking the other day, I wonder how it would be if I wrote a book called You're a Human Being, Not a Human Doing. Because we do, we forget that we're supposed to be. We don't know how to be. We just know how
to do.
So, okay, you were an emotional wreck, for lack of better terms.
I really was.
You were. And so you needed a lot of rest and the Word of God and some counseling and some different things. But, you know, there's a lot of people watching today that maybe their emotions are wounded from being hurt in their life, or maybe they are full of anger or bitterness and resentment. We have probably 50 opportunities every week to be offended. But we don't have to take the offense.
No, we don't.
You don't have to take it. You can decide, I'm going to eat that poison or I'm not going to eat that poison. And I love what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 about love always believes the best of every person. I really just want to encourage all of our viewers today, if you're needing emotional healing in your life, be real honest with yourself and just ask yourself if any of the root of what you're dealing with emotionally is that you're still hanging on to bitterness and resentment.
And Joyce, you didn't ask me to say this, but your books are a great way for people to deal with their hearts.
Thank you.
You deal so to the heart. And when you're dealing with bitterness and unforgiveness, or even if you've been through an emotional time, in addition to the Bible, you have to feed your soul with other things.
That's true.
People who can talk to you about your brain, people who can talk to you about your heart on a level that really touches you. And your books are so marvelous
for that. Okay, let's talk about another area of forgiveness. What about if some of our viewers today have just really totally messed up? Let's say maybe even way beyond what you did. I mean, they've really messed up, just made a mess out of their life. Did you have to forgive yourself in this process? I'm sure at times you felt like, how in the world could I have let my life get in this kind of mess when I'm a man of God?
You know, the forgiveness of God is not hard for me to receive.
That's good.
I know that it's by the grace of God. I absolutely know that. What was hard for me was looking at the ramifications that I had on other people. Because when you get under stress, when you get out of whack, you don't always treat people
well,
right.
That's true. That's very true. You probably hurt other people as much as you hurt yourself.
You do, for sure. You say things that you would never normally say if you weren't under that pressure. And that's the thing that bothered me more than anything else, how to fix those things, which, by the way, can be another burden and another worry. You just can't move into that. And sometimes the best thing you can do is just be transparent and say, you know what, I've messed up.
That's true.
And I'm really sorry.
Well, I do want to encourage you, if you have hurt someone or if you've messed your own life up, take Pastor Rick's advice and just understand that all forgiveness is by the grace of God. You can't do enough good stuff to overturn the mistakes that you've made, but God is willing right now, this moment, to give you a new beginning in your life. And the good news is that you can receive total forgiveness, and you can even trust God to heal the other people that you have hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when we're hurting, we lash out at people, but another thing we do is we withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they take that as rejection,
mm-hmm.
and they begin to feel like, well, what have I done wrong? I had a little virus over the weekend, and I said to Dave a couple times, on Saturday, I said, I just want you to know that I don't feel the best in the world today, and I just feel like I'm probably going to be a little quieter than normal, so I don't want you to think that anything's wrong. And then Sunday I was better, but I said, I'm still a little bit off, so if you notice anything, and you know, and I think we need to be open enough with people to communicate that sometimes, to even say, you know, look, I'm going through something, I'm really having a rough time, and mm-hmm. I just want you to know it's not you,
mm-hmm.
it's not your fault, it's not you. But sometimes we're so deep in our own pain, we don't even think about the other people around us mm-hmm. and how our actions are affecting them.
I learned how healthy it is just to say to somebody, you know what? My emotions are not too good today.
Yeah.
I need somebody to help me think straight.
Yeah.
Would you guys please help me think a little better than I'm thinking? And if I come across wrong, it's because I'm dealing with something.
Yeah. And I've learned sometimes on days like that, I need to just zip my lip and
yeah,
and not say so much.
Silence is important, Joyce.
Yeah, it is. It is. Really
I think
is.
Sometimes we're so busy with people and listening, we're not in touch with ourselves.
That's right.
And I think we have to be in touch with ourselves. That's why people don't know how to pray. They don't know what they want. The Bible says, as the water answers to water, so the face answers to the face. And you've got to have time to look at your heart and reflect on your heart, or you really don't know what you want to do.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't know how to pray because you're not quiet enough to really know who you are or what you want.
Well, Pastor, let's just say that some of our viewers today have watched the first half of this program on emotional healing, and now they've heard that you know, you had a big issue and that you had to work through some lots of different things. And so now let's just say maybe some of you are saying, well, you know, I've just got a huge mess in my life and I just don't know where to go from here. How can people keep their past from affecting their future?
You've got to draw a line.
And today would be a good day to do that, wouldn't it?
It would. Denise said to me, there's nothing you can do about yesterday. You do not have tomorrow. All you have is today.
That's right. And, you know, we can mourn over what we've lost, or we can look at what we have left. And it's good to be sorry for what you've done wrong.
It is. It's healthy.
But and even to grieve over it for a period of time, but you can't let a spirit of grief
That's right.
take over your life. Because if you do, then there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no forward motion. And I like to say a lot of times that God does not have a reverse gear. When it's over, and He's always ready to go forward.
I have a line written right here in my Bible that says everything, to that date when this happened in my life, everything falls into that line. Everything new started after that
That's
line.
That's good. And it's good sometimes just to do that. It's good just to say, today is the day that I'm going to let go of the past. You know, I don't know what you might be waiting for to let go. Maybe you've been thinking, well, I know I need to let go of this, but you just haven't done it yet. Maybe it's a failed relationship. Maybe it's something from your childhood. Maybe it's somebody who really mistreated you and hurt you. You know, maybe you're sitting home bleeding emotionally and wounded, and the person that hurt you is out having a good time and don't even know or care that you're upset. Well, that's not even a little bit of wisdom to keep hurting over somebody like that. You need to realize that God has a future for you. The Apostle Paul said, one thing I do, it's my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind.
Yes.
And pressing on to the things that are ahead. And first we forget, and then we press in to the good things. It's so important for people to realize today that their past does not have to dictate their future. Amen?
That's right.
And you're not going to let your past do that. I'm not letting my past do that. I remember a woman, I'll tell you this story, and then we're going to tell you about our offer for today. I remember a woman that I met in a Starbucks coffee shop. And she recognized me from TV, and so she started to tell me a little bit about how awful her life had been. And she said, you know, I tell you, she said, I just feel like life has thrown me under the bus. And I said, well, you know what? I felt like life had thrown me under the bus too, but I decided I was just going to learn how to drive that bus. And so we don't have to just be the victim. We can have a new attitude that says, I'm going to have victory in my life. And so today we're offering you an action plan called Beauty for Ashes. I wrote a book a long time ago called Beauty for Ashes. It was one of my earlier books, and it's helped a lot of people. It tells the story of the abuse that I went through and how God helped me recover from that. But this package is a new one we have put together, and it includes CDs, DVDs, a personal application workbook, and a gratitude journal so you can begin to list things that you're thankful for, because that's all part of your healing. And so we just pray for you today in the name of Jesus that whatever is dragging you down emotionally would be settled in your life, and that you would receive the healing that God is offering you right now today. Today you can draw that line and you can say, no more looking behind. My future is so bright that I would need sunglasses to even look at it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We believe that for you. Thanks for joining us today. Have a great day.
Escape the prison of your past with the Beauty for Ashes Action Plan. With over 4 hours of Joyce's teaching on CD and DVD, a personal application workbook, and journal, the Beauty for Ashes Action Plan will help you change your perspective on the past and live a life as God intended, filled with joy and purpose. It's available today for your donation of $35 or more. Contact us right now, 1-800-727-9673.
So the Bible is God's manual to help us navigate life. But life often gets in the way of knowing the Bible, finding the time, knowing where to begin, and discovering what this all means to you. We understand, and we'd like to help. At joycemeyer.org/study, you'll find free resources to help you get more out of the Bible, whether you're a new Christian or have been walking with Christ for years. So jump in today. The Word. It's free, it's mobile, and it's tailored for you at joycemeyer.org.
Some of these children have never, ever had a bath in their life. As we're taking layers off, we're finding wounds, burns that were never treated, and disfigured feet. It's tough to see how much they enjoy it. They've never had this before. So what is basic to us in the United States, these children have never had. So it's humbling. It's.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.